The first scripture I have for you today comes from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 17.
27? Okay.
27. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And it reads, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." The second scripture I have for you is Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17. Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17. And it reads, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?"
Amen. Giving honor to God and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's in him that we live and move and have our being. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1 and verse 2. That's your memory scripture for today. I want to thank the elders for giving me an opportunity to be here, do this lesson. I don't get many opportunities to preach anymore, and I always consider it a very high honor and something that I love doing, and I pray that when I preach, I can help somebody somewhere along the road. If you're visiting with us today, please understand that you're our honored guest. We love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And we pray that something we do today will make you want to know more about Jesus. Today's lesson is entitled, "Seen at the Great White Throne." And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? It's hard to read that scripture sometimes without really understanding and without almost shaking in your boots. I want to set the table for this lesson today, and the title of my lesson is Seen at the Great White Throne, for those of you who are taking notes. Please join me, if you will, at Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to read into your hearing verses 11 through 15. Starting at verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, with an S, were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. May the God of heaven add a blessing to the readers and hearers, and most of all the doers of his most divine word. Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. Mark 12 and verse 32. Let us pray, please. Father, we are so thankful today that we can come to you as our God, knowing that you are the true and perfect God, and that one day we all will stand before you, empty and hopeful of our future with you. Father, we know that your word says that the things that are written will allow us to know that we are saved. We pray, Father, for every soul that's in here, seeing how valuable a person's soul is, will heed your words and do those things that will, in the end, allow there to be no cause for serious regret. We pray, Father, that you will be with us today as we listen to your word with an open heart and an open mind, and that we will consider ourselves and give you the glory for all things in Christ's name. Amen. Seen at the great white throne. Picture this. As far as the eyes can see, wall to wall people everywhere, graves opening, the skies opening, mountains moving. It's all happening on one day. Wall to wall people everywhere, and we are all about to appear in court. You have received your summons, and whether you like it or not, you're going. Why? Because you have just been raised from the dead, and now is the time for you to plead your case, or as so many people will likely do, justify yourselves. Jesus said, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of the Lord." Luke 16 and verse 15. I want you to think back in your mind's eye to the biggest event that you've ever attended. Was it a concert? Was it a professional baseball or football game? Was it WWE? I've been there and done all of those, too. I remember on one occasion when I even missed a worship service to attend a Jaguars game. Maybe that's why they're the worst team in football. Which was, at the time, one of the stupidest decisions I had ever made. At least because, at that time, I actually had the audacity to neglect God and do this thing. Then, as I should have, I had to stand before my two young daughters, then 6 and 8, who repeatedly asked me the reason for my grievous error. What could I say? Because it was my error. Note this, though. Their mom took them to worship, but where was Dad? I'm praying today that not that many men are still doing the same type irresponsible things. Because just as surely as you and I are alive this day, the time is swiftly approaching where we will surely have to stand before the great white throne to be judged by the judge of all judges. No rational person who believes in the power of the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-merciful, but don't get me wrong, mercy will be over. And Almighty God, who, as the Hebrew writer said, cannot lie, Hebrews 6 and verse 18. No rational person can read the scriptures that I just presented to you in Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 20, understand what they mean, and not absolutely quake with fear. You know, the scariest parable in the Bible to me is Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. But get this, family. Contrary to popular culture today, and what I mean by that is, when you go to funerals, the denominational world will preach just about anybody into heaven, won't they? You ever heard them preach anybody into hell? There will not be an overwhelming number of double judgment day surprises. Don't get me wrong, I'm not refuting what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 about those who prophesied in his name, who cast out demons in his name, who did many wonderful works in his name. What I am simply saying is those who read God's word and have every opportunity to repent and obey, just as you and I today, need to know that ignorance will not be an excuse. Paul said, Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. For he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, and has given assurance unto all men that he's raised him from the dead. Family, this is all serious stuff. And there are simply no easy ways out. There are no easy outs. There's no such thing as recliner Christianity or DVR Christianity. There's no such thing. We read in 1 Peter 4 and verse 17 that the righteous are scarcely going to be saved. We're doing all we can do, but there are people that sit back and say, well, you know, I watched the televangelist, and guess what? That's enough. God knows my heart, doesn't he? That's the problem. He does know. Moreover, family, contrary to popular opinion, with the Bible's being so crystal clear on what God expects, many of us today know the issues that are in our lives. Those things which, quote unquote, we have to get right before we're ready to meet him. But yet we do nothing about them. And know what? We need not expect anything from God short of being held accountable for those issues in our lives. Because as the scriptures say, the time will have come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it first begin with us, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Where shall we appear? Paul answered that question in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 9, where he said, verse 6, he said, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Again, family, ignorance won't be an excuse. Not wanting to know who God is will not be an excuse. Not wanting to hear will not be an excuse. Saying I didn't know because you didn't want to know will not be an excuse. It is appointed unto us once to die, and after this, the judgment. Paul himself said in Galatians 6, 7 and 8, he said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again, whosoever name was not written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20 and verse 15. Now, in view of the scriptures that I just read together with your life, let me ask you a question. Will you want head-of-the-line privileges on that day? Think about your past week or your past month or all the opportunities you've blown. Will you want head-of-the-line privilege that day? Can you actually say in your heart of hearts, even now come, Lord, Revelation 22 and verse 20, on that day, would you rather be like Mike, who had it all? Or would you rather be like Moses, who gave it up all? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he had respect for the recompense of the reward. Hebrews 11, verses 24 to 26. Let me ask you another question. Do you really know what eternity means? You know, yesterday, I'm a big Sports Center fan, because just about every other channel you go to, you can see a curse word or illicit act or anything else. So I turned my television on Sports Center. So yesterday, I happened to hear on the news that Anthony Mason died. This guy played for the New York Knicks. He was a picture of health. He was only 48 years old. He had a massive heart attack. Probably was planning to go somewhere. All of a sudden, he was dead. One day he wakes up, the next day he was dead. You think about those people on 9/11. They went to work, but they didn't come back home. They kissed their wives goodbye, but they didn't come back home. But perhaps some of those people put God off. And then they could not stand before God in view of eternity. What will it profit you if you would gain the whole world today and lose your soul? The hardest question in the Bible is in Matthew 16:26. What will you give in exchange for your soul? There are people that you couldn't pay them to be late to work, but you also can't pay them to come to worship. What's the problem with that? Family, these questions demand deep, serious pause in our lives as we consider ourselves and contemplate our own condition before God. We are told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And when we think about that, we have to ask ourselves, can we really stand before the great white throne? Or like the majority of the world, that is those who are unprepared to meet God, not having obeyed the gospel, who substitute service for nonsense like the Lord knows my heart. Not only does the Lord know your heart, Ezekiel 11 and verse 5 says, I even know the things that come into your mind, every O-N-E of them. God knows. So that day, it won't be you trying to outsmart God, will it? When you think of how inadequate you are against some of your own neighbors, think about trying to stand in front of God and give an answer. Or having obeyed, were you not faithful? You obeyed the gospel and you hadn't been back since. Or you were not faithful to your first love. Are you all like confident or quake with fear when you read these passages? Beloved, I believe it will be a great white throne because of the crowd that will be assembled on that occasion. Think about the crowd. Graves opening. There's Adam and Eve. Cain. Then you see Abel, Noah and his family, all of those who perished during the flood. And you know what? They will still be lost. Because during Noah's day, only 8 souls were saved. Abraham, and he will come forth from his grave out of the cave of Machpelah. Moses, He'll come from his grave in the land of Moab. All the prophets and kings and priests who led God's people down the path of destruction. And speaking of priests, Nadab and Abihu, who knew what God wanted, yet they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And you know what? They came out fired from the Lord, and they died before the Lord. And you know what they, in Leviticus 10, verses 6 and 7, Nadab and Abihu, after they had done what they had done, Moses told Aaron, his father, and his two brothers, don't you even mourn them. That's how grievous that sin was. When God says he will be sanctified by those who come near him, that's exactly what he means. God doesn't have to tell us anything a million times. The last thing Nadab and Abihu remembered was they offered strange fire before the Lord. The next time they look up, they'll be judged before the great white throne. What do you want to be the last thing that God remembers from you? Remember Ahab and Jezebel, who in 1 Kings 16:33, the Bible said, did more to provoke the Lord God to anger than all the kings and queens that were before them? They may try to lose their invitation, but guess what? They won't have any choice. I believe that's going to be a long day. Pharaoh will be there, who during the time of Moses said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Exodus 5 and verse 2. All of those present during the period of the judges who did that which was pleasing in their own eyes, Judges 2 and verse 19. All the others who lived during the days of the Old Testament and rejected the preaching of the prophets. All those Jews in the first century who were present during the time of Jesus, who even mocked him after witnessing all of his miracles. How did he give sight to the blind? He raised the dead. He cleansed lepers. He cured all manners of diseases. And with all the evidence, they said at his death, let his blood be on us and on our children, Matthew 27 and verse 25. Those heartless animals still crucified our Lord. Those who watched him walk on water, feed hungry thousands with a few loaves of fishes, turn water into wine, cast out demons, perform miracle after miracle after miracles. Wonder what happened and they couldn't catch that. Every atheist will be there. Every agnostic will be there. Every false teacher will be there. You know these false teachers on TV today? Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, all of them will be there. I remember some 20, 30 years ago, Reverend Ike used to have this prayer cloth. And he would pray the Loose Your Money prayer. And I'll send you this cloth for $19.95. He'll be there. How much of that $19.95 did he take with him to his grave? Those who started the church down the road to apostasy will be there. But let me just take one thing back I just said. There will be no atheists that day. Because my Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. Those living in our day, still living in sin, who not only believe in homosexuality and now almost swear by it, but believe that homosexuality is not only a right, but a choice that God ought to accept in spite of what his word says. In spite of Leviticus 18:22, do not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. In spite of what God's word says, though every abortionist will be there, every serial killer, every ungodly person who has ever lived will be there. Most importantly, you, well, you would be there. And I'll be there. I don't know about you, but I know enough Bible that I won't have any excuse or an answer if I don't do what God wants. That's something to really think deeply about, family. It will be a great white throne that day, because there's never been a crowd like this. There never will be a crowd like this. And it will be a great white throne because of that crowd that will be assembled. It will also, point number two, be a great white throne because of the books that will be opened. What books? On that day, God will open up several books. How do I know that? Because the Bible speaks of books in the plural in Revelation 20 and verse 12. For instance, we have the book of deeds showing the deeds of every accountable person that has ever lived, both faithful and unfaithful. Someone has well said that your deeds will find you out. We also know that God knows every deed that we have. In Hebrews 4 and verse 13, we read, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do or to give account. God said in his word, Jeremiah 23:23-24, he says, am I a God at hand, a God just close by, and not a God of all? Can any hide himself in secret places that I cannot see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Psalm 139 says, the darkness and the night, the light are likened to him. Let me read a scripture to you. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my Jews, and I spare them, and I will spare them as a man spareth his son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Family, we are God's special, precious jewels. That's a big honor. Because we didn't let Jesus Christ's death be something that was in vain. That's something to think deeply about and to be appreciative of. In Luke 10, verses 17 to 20, we read, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. That's a powerful book. Then we have the Bible, which so many of us say, show me that in the Bible. But yet, when we see what's in the Bible, we say, that can't be what it means. But John 12 and verse 48 says what? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Thus, through this book, we are told how to live. We can't mess it up. We're told what to do to be saved. We're told how to be saved, as well as what to do in case we decide to go back out into the world. Wouldn't it be a tragic thing to hear those names read at that great scene and not hear your own? You can do something about that today. Because if you don't, it won't be God's fault. It will be a great white throne because of the books that will be open. Thirdly, it will be a great white throne because of the separation that will take place. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this to judgment. The words separation and loss are two of the saddest words in the English language. Not too many among us would disagree with that, I'm sure. Some of you in this audience have children who no longer live at home. And guess what? You miss them, don't you? We even miss our dog when we leave home. You know one thing? Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, some will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other will be left. Some will be at the mill, one will be taken, and the other will be left. Some of you wives have been in a situation where your husbands have been gone for prolonged periods of time. They've been on deployment. I've been there and done that too. But the first thing we used to do when we used to go to sea, we'd put our calendar together. We'd sit down and we'd mark off milestones, and we'd have reason to celebrate and something to look forward to. Separation is a terrible, terrible thing, and it's a tragic word. I remember hearing a story about a man who had committed a crime. He stole some money from the bank, and when he was sentenced, he was sentenced to 1 year and one day. And that really broke his wife's heart. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do for 1 year and one day without my husband. Separation, family, is one of the reasons why we should try so hard to preach the gospel and teach the gospel. And even sadder separation inevitably occurs when a Christian who is married to a non-Christian stands over that person's casket and says goodbye. Could you imagine saying to your spouse today, goodbye, forever? April 12, 1987, my dad died. My dad was in the Methodist Church. When they lowered my dad's body into that grave, I said goodbye to forever. Because guess what? He was not a member of the church you can read about in the Bible. And for me to be where my dad is today, I would have to ask God to go back on his word. One day, if you don't try to reach your loved one, you're going to say goodbye forever. And that's going to be the saddest day of your life. I have a brother now who is a Jehovah's Witness. I have one who is a preacher, a pastor, a deacon, and an apostle. All in one. I mean, they come from all over the place. And it doesn't matter what you say to them. My pastor says, the Lord knows my heart. And you get in the Bible and you talk to them about baptism, and they say, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, just find that in the Bible. And I tell you what I'll do. I'll stop right here and I'll obey. I'll do what you do. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to lead you to Christ. You can't lead me to Christ baptizing me in the Holy Spirit. You can't. One day, I'm going to say goodbye to that apostle. One day, it hurts me, but I'm going to say goodbye to that Jehovah's Witness. I'm going to say goodbye. Because it doesn't matter. When you read Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And when you read that scripture and they look at it and say, I don't have to be baptized to be saved. So what does and mean, brother? One of the simplest words in the English language is and. But they won't accept and. So if we are lost, it's not going to be because of what God did. But we're going to be separated forever. If I could do anything, I have a brother right now that I really look up to almost as somebody I admire. He's in the Methodist Church. I don't know how many times we've taught him the gospel, but guess what? He's determined not to obey it. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Matthew 13, verse 15. There are some people who will not be saved in spite of what the Bible says. But guess what? You still got to teach them. You still got to try it, because one day, when they close that casket, you're going to say goodbye forever. So don't let that stop you from trying. It's going to be a great white throne, because when they get up out of that grave, they're going to go to another one forever, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Son, I'm going to put my brother name. Brother, remember, you had your chance. What you going to say? You had your chance. But when you're sitting on your couch and won't teach him, you might be there too. Because you have your chance. Separation. That's scary. But for God to allow people in heaven who didn't obey his word, we may as well go home now. Isn't that right? For God to go back on his word, he would have to cease to be God. That's sad. But yet we say, well, I've talked to him 5 times. I guess I won't talk to him anymore. Guess what? Maybe the 6th time will help. Maybe somebody else can help. But don't give up on your family. Because guess what? When you say goodbye to that Methodist, that Baptist, that Catholic, that Jehovah's Witness, that apostle who is not an apostle, you're going to say goodbye forever. It will be a great white throne because of the separation that will be on that day. It will be a great white throne because of the righteous judgment that would occur. Thus saith the Lord God, let not the righteous man, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the righteous man glory in his righteousness, but let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord that exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For these in these things I delight, saith the Lord of hosts. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 to 24. Aren't you glad that there is no danger of God's making an error by letting some other man judge you? Somebody who already has his own agenda? How many times have you not been around, has your fate not been in the hands of a human being who has something else in mind before he even came to you? You didn't stand a chance, did you? For we must all appear before God, the righteous judge, who will judge us on that day. We're going to appear before him. It doesn't matter, because God will love you enough that he already died for you. So you'll stand a chance if you just do what God says. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 33. All I can say about the scriptures, don't be a goat. Please don't. Brothers and sisters, God has done everything he can for you to guarantee your salvation. So it will be a great white throne because of the righteous judgment that will be occurring on that occasion. Finally, family, it will be a great white throne because of the verdict that will be rendered. Revelation 20 and verse 15. And whosoever's name was not written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Would I really be putting anyone on the spot today if I would ask you what you thought your verdict would be? Would it be, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Think about your life. Don't just answer that question. Make sure you have done something about that. Christianity is a lifestyle. Remember, family, God has been eyewitness to everything you've ever done. And in view of eternity, we are told that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Paul said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and you shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. We are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not in the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, that's you and me who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we all should live together with him." Family, the world will be scared to stand before that great white throne. You know what to do so that you can stand there. One of the most complete stories in the Bible, in my mind, is the story of, in Acts chapter 8, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 26, Philip met the eunuch in the desert, in a deserted place. He was reading from the scriptures, from Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. He came up to the chariot, the Holy Spirit told him to go out there. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" So he invited him to come up into the chariot. And when he was reading the scriptures, he asked the eunuch asked Philip, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or some other man?" And the Bible says he went to the same scripture he was, and he preached unto him Jesus. Okay, you had a man that didn't know anything about Jesus. So one thing they talked about was Jesus. And then as they went on their way, verse 36 says, they came upon some water. And the eunuch asked the question, "Look, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Okay, here's another thing you got to do. You got to believe. Philip said what? "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And what was the eunuch's confession? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now that confession brought death to Jesus Christ. But your confession of that same thing will bring eternal life to you. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And guess what? He commanded the chariot to stop. Didn't wait till Sunday. Didn't wait for a committee to vote for him. He commanded the chariot to stop. And when they stopped, he went down in the water, baptized them. And the Bible says, and when they were come out of the water, the Spirit took away Philip and he saw no more. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believe the word. Acts 15:7. "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth would hear the word of the gospel and believe." Hear the word, believe the word, repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Christ, Matthew 10:32-33. And be baptized into Christ. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you've done that, the Bible also tells you how to be saved also. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Family, one day you're going to have to stand before that great white throne. One day somebody you love, you're going to say goodbye to, you're going to have to stand before that great white throne. Are you ready for that great white throne? And are you getting all the people you know that you can ready to stand before? If you're subject to the invitation today, or you need some help or some study or something along those lines,
please let us help you. And won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that we select.
Turn to 674.